Two Sunday mornings ago, I said this to you. I reminded you that we have a mission statement here at Calvary, and it is this. It says, Calvary Baptist Church, we desire to live as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we will worship, pray, learn, love, serve, and share the good news. And again, our mission statement does not say that we desire to live as casual Christians or cultural Christians. It says we desire to live as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to continually be sitting at the Master's feet, learning from him, just as you would imagine a disciple doing. That's an image I really like, the sitting at the Master's feet, and I bring it back to us here on occasion. The great Greek philosophers, they had disciples. Here's a picture of Socrates and his disciples. Okay. Eastern traditions, they had masters and disciples too, as in the next two pictures that you can flip through there. And of course, the image for our context today would be Jesus teaching his disciples and followers, as in that picture there. Now, I also said to you two Sundays ago that sitting and learning are not the only jobs of a disciple. If we stop at sitting and learning, we actually aren't true disciples of that master. A true disciple does not only sit and learn. A true disciple then stands and goes, putting into practice in their lives the values their master has taught them. So our goal here at Calvary is to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. We are going to sit and we're going to learn. And then we are also going to stand and go. That was two Sundays ago. Last Sunday, we looked at some incredible prophecies to be found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, prophecies of a coming servant of God's, an anointed one who would come in justice and righteousness with wisdom and gentleness, one who would serve both God and human beings by suffering, by being pierced for our transgressions, for our sins, the prophecy said. And I'm confident that you came to the same conclusion that I have when reading those prophecies in Isaiah, that they were fulfilled in the man Jesus Christ who came to the earth 700 years after those words had been written. So amazing stuff there. We commented as we were looking at those passages last week about what a wise and good leader God is for us. So we said when God asks difficult things of us, he doesn't only ask, but he put himself into a situation through Jesus to also do, to go through the same experiences that he asks of us, for example. Jesus has not only commanded us to humbly serve people, he performed humble service. Jesus not only commanded us to show love for all people, but Jesus showed love for all people, even his enemies. Jesus not only says that we might suffer in this world before going to heaven, but he also suffered before being resurrected to heaven. He went through it too, and we know that he suffered in the extreme. So there's really nothing God will ask of us that he has not also willingly put himself through. This is how this God leads, and we said that is good leadership. Well, I want to draw out today for us a second important implication of God coming in human form to us. Yeah, part of God's purpose in coming in human form and experiencing the things we experience was to show us he understands us and to empathize with us and to be a good leader for us. That's true. But another part of the reason God came in human form to go through all those experiences on the earth was to model for us how we are to go through those kinds of experiences on the earth. Jesus came to model for us how to live life. Hey, we know that disciples don't only learn by listening to their master teach, right? They watch their master and how the master acts and behaves, how he goes through things. And this is true for us of Jesus as well. We not only read his teachings, but we observe how he acted in the stories of him in the Bible. We can learn from that. So Jesus modeled living life for us in order that we could learn from him and then imitate him. So here's what I want us to do this morning, and this is actually going to extend into next Sunday as well. I want us to go through the exact same text that we covered last Sunday morning, but this time, instead of looking at the prophecies of God's future servant slash Messiah in Isaiah, in order to be amazed at the prophecy and fulfillment in the Bible, in order to celebrate what a great leader God is for us, over these next two Sundays, I want us to look at these prophecies and the many descriptions in them about how the Messiah was going to act. And I want us, as we look at those things, to be watching for ways in which we can imitate the things said of our Master Jesus there. So, hope that makes sense. God sent his Son as a model for us on how to live life. So let's go back now through the same prophecies we saw last week, but this time let's draw out the ways in which the prophecies said that Jesus would act, the ways in which he did act when he came 700 years later, and let's think about how we can imitate Jesus' actions. That's our task for today. I'm going to be kind to you today and put the passages up on the screen. You did a good job following along in your Bibles last Sunday, but I'll let you relax a bit as we go back over some of the same sections this week. Just in case you weren't here, there are four sections in the book of Isaiah called servant songs. They're not songs. They could be described as poetry, but what they for sure are is prophecies of this great being God told Isaiah he was going to bring to Israel in the future, the Messiah. So as we go back through those passages now, we'll stop when we come to a description of the Messiah that we might be able to imitate in our lives. First of those servant songs is found in Isaiah chapter 42. And in verse 1 of Isaiah 42, God says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold," and right away we stop. Jesus was a servant. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one because we've been hitting this theme pretty hard the last couple weeks, but I think we should, given our task for the day, point out here again that if we want to imitate our Master Jesus as true disciples of his, then we need to consciously be making better efforts to serve both God and human beings, to get better and better at seeing other people's needs and then consciously taking time to think about how we might help them meet their needs. And as I said, I think it was two Sundays ago, we do need to be thinking about how to draw healthy boundaries for ourselves in that matter. We have physical limitations. We just cannot meet the needs of every single person that we come into contact with. But we need to remember that we are called by our Master to sacrificial service, just as he sacrificially served us. So we need to balance that need for healthy boundaries and also this call to serve others sacrificially. So yeah, if we're serious about being a disciple of this man Jesus, we need to get serious about serving. This is the first description of the Messiah in Isaiah's servant songs that we notice we could imitate in our lives. Servanthood. Moving on to the second part of the first verse in Isaiah 42, God says, "I will put my spirit on him," on the Messiah, "and he will bring justice to the nations." Two things there that we could imitate. The first is that we really ought to explore if we too can imitate the situation Jesus was in where God's spirit was upon him. Amazingly enough, the Bible teaches that we can imitate that situation. Before his death and resurrection, Jesus taught this to his disciples from John 14. He said, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept the Spirit because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you." So Jesus teaching there that God's Spirit is going to come and live inside of his followers. A few verses later, Jesus says, "The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." So the Holy Spirit is going to live in Jesus' followers and will teach and remind and give peace Okay, peace, patience, love, and a whole bunch of other things the Bible says elsewhere. These are the kinds of things the Holy Spirit will help us experience and exhibit when he lives in us. The Bible teaches that the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Romans 8. There are many more things we could say about the Holy Spirit, but the main point for today is that, yes, through God's incredible grace for us, once we've been cleansed from our sin by Jesus' blood, God's Spirit can be on us. Therefore, we can imitate this characteristic of Jesus as it was described in the prophecy of Isaiah 42, verse 1, which said, I will put my Spirit on him. Wow, you know, that might you might think that would be one way in which we couldn't imitate Jesus. But the biblical teaching is that it is. God makes it possible for even us. Praise the Lord. There was a second part to that sentence. The first part from verse 1 of Isaiah 42 was, I will put my Spirit on him. The second part was, he will bring justice to the nations. Another thing that we can seek to imitate from Jesus' life, we can pursue justice. So we can live in ways that are just, and we also can seek to help others in the world experience justice rather than injustice. The world is full of injustice, so really even just this single value alone from Jesus' life could give us a lifetime of work to do. The world we live in, even our country, is full of the abuse of power. There are adults who abuse their power over children, whether they're parents or maybe not. And that is injustice for those children. There are husbands who abuse their power over their wives. There is institutional injustice, societal injustice, where unjust rules for people are set, you know, that it's government or business. Slavery still exists in many parts of the world still today. So, like I said, you could spend a lifetime battling injustice. And if you did, you would be imitating Jesus, who once said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. That's Jesus in Luke 4:18, where he's actually quoting a prophecy from Isaiah, by the way, and applying it to himself. So Jesus sought to bring justice to the earth, and we can imitate him in this. Next verse from Isaiah 42, verse 2 says of the coming Messiah, he will not shout or cry out, he will not raise his voice in the streets. He's not going to be one to make a big scene or draw attention to himself. Okay, so we can think that Jesus did have a few moments of creating big scenes, like when he overturned the tables in the temple, right? But those were kind of few and far between, and I think he usually had a specific purpose for those things. I think overall this was kind of rare for him, and the picture we get of him in the Gospels, the general characteristic of him is that he often stayed out of the limelight. He hung out with common people and taught in out-of-the-way places. And you may recall that this really troubled some of his followers. They thought he was going to take over the throne in Jerusalem, kick the Romans out of the country, right? They thought he was going to be in the limelight and raise his voice in the streets and make big scenes. But Jesus didn't work in that way, at least not in his first visit to the earth. There's another one coming. This under-the-radar approach of Jesus had been prophesied about in the Isaiah verse that we read there. Okay, so this is another quality of Jesus that we can imitate in our lives too. I think it speaks to his value of humility and of not needing to be in the limelight. I don't believe that means that we should never be up front preaching or leading. It's okay to be the star of a play. I think that's okay. We can use our God-given talents. I do think that it means that we shouldn't need to be in the limelight and pursue that as a goal in itself. We've often seen here that the Bible calls us to lift others up and lift God up and to humble ourselves. That's how Jesus lived, right? He modeled that for us as well. So we should seek to imitate him in this. Let's be humble. Next verse, Isaiah 42, verse 3. God says of his servant, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." And you may remember there was another way of saying this verse from a more modern language translation of the Bible. That was, he will not break off a damaged cattail. He will not even put out a smoking wick. Point here is that the Messiah will be gentle. Another trait we can seek to imitate in our lives. Jesus let the little children come to him, right? He was tender with people and caring. I think the people around him knew his touch, his kindness. A touch, by the way, that might have healed their disease. So Jesus was caring and patient. He was gentle. We can be gentle too with children, with all people, with the poor and the sick. We can be gentle with animals, part of God's creation. I guess if Jesus was of the demeanor to not even break off a damaged cattail, I think we probably ought to be gentle to animals if we're trying to imitate him. Anything that needs a gentle touch, we can do that. We can imitate our Lord and Master Jesus in this. What else? Well, verse 4 of chapter 42 says that the Messiah will not falter or be discouraged until he establishes justice on the earth. We've already talked about justice. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. And we have explained on a previous week that for people living in Israel or in that region, the term the islands, that for them was the furthest reaches of the earth. Way out even on the islands. So verse 4 really is a prophecy stating that people from all over the earth are going to put their hope in the teaching of the Messiah. And I guess I have to ask you, are there today people all over the earth who have put their hope in the teaching of Jesus? Prophecy fulfilled. So praise the Lord on that one. Now, we're not to imitate Jesus by coming up with our own teaching that the islands can put their hope in. That's not how we are to imitate him. The way we would imitate Jesus here would be to carry forward our master's teaching into all the earth. That's the role of a disciple. So we would imitate Jesus here by teaching the same things that he taught by duplicating his teaching. You know that Jesus taught in a specific location at a specific time in history. The islands weren't even going to hear that message unless his followers, both the direct followers and the next generations of them, would go to duplicate and repeat his teaching over all the earth. And that, of course, has been happening ever since Jesus' resurrection and ascension back to heaven. It's the most important cause of the church in the world yet today, to bring Christ's teaching to any and to all who would hear and heed it. So if you want to imitate Jesus in this area, and really, we're all called to do this in some form. It might mean for you getting involved in or supporting Converge International Missions, our church denomination's pursuit of getting the good news of Jesus out literally to the farthest ends of the earth, to the people groups that unbelievably still exist today that have never heard the name Jesus. Or it might mean partnering with us here, your church family, as we seek to reach wider into our community this year, looking for people who need to hear about Jesus in a way they haven't before, or who need to refocus on him if they've lost their focus on Christ over the years. So yeah, our master Jesus, he came to the earth on a mission, right? A mission to bring a way for human beings to be saved from darkness and sin, to be brought back into relationship with their Creator, back into a life of light and freedom from sin, how we were originally created to be. It's the most important mission that anyone could have or be involved in. He calls us now to imitate Him by carrying forward His teaching into all of the earth, even the part of the earth that is next door to where you live. Jesus was the first Christian missionary, and we are called to imitate Him and be on mission just as He was. One more for today. This is now verse 6 of Isaiah 42. God says about His future servant there, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness." And we stop again. Well, we know that God wants all of us to live rightly. How important then was it that the Messiah would act completely in right and moral ways? I'd say it was essential that He do that. How radically different would our view of Jesus be if He had had a few moments of really messing up and disobeying God? I don't think we can even imagine that, because that just wouldn't be Jesus, right? How important was it for Jesus to not sin? I mean, so think about reading the newspaper today, or I should say watching the news. I always say reading because I'm a newspaper reader, but you probably watch it. Anyhow, could the news be any more discouraging than it is? There's a constant focus in the news there on all the bad things that human beings do, and you know, the bad things that human beings do amounts to more than a small heap. It's a gargantuan heap. Even our leaders these days engage in such petty and immoral behavior. It's so depressing. Well, think then how much more depressing it would be on the earth if there wasn't one human being out there who showed us that living rightly is possible. One person who never sinned. One person who gives us hope for humanity. I'm so happy that Jesus exists and that He gives us that vision and that reason for hope. And then there's the whole matter of, if Jesus had sinned, I don't think He could have paid the price for our sins. I think that's how it would work in God's cosmic justice system. If Jesus had to pay the price for His own sin, He couldn't have taken ours on. But that's going to lead us down a really theologically deep trail, and we'll just retreat from that real quickly. In any case, it was absolutely vital that Jesus Christ not sin, that He would follow God's commands perfectly. Now, the Bible teaches that there is no human being other than Jesus who will be able to live a sinless life. None of us can get to that 100% righteous living like Jesus did, which is why we need a Savior to just kind of make it true for us in God's eyes. However, you know, let's say we're living 55% righteous lives. I think we could get to 60, don't you think? And when you get to 60, we could push for 65%, right, by focusing on it and asking God to help us with that. And then you just keep going, I think. We're not going to reach Jesus' 100% mark of living in this world without sin, but I do think we can get closer and closer to the standard He set through our attention on that and pursuing that goal, the help of God's Spirit within us, who certainly will cooperate with us on that. So this is the last characteristic of Jesus' life today that I want us to be thinking about imitating in our lives. It was really important for Jesus not to sin, and I would argue it's almost as important for us, His followers, to do our best not to sin, to imitate Him in pursuit of sinless living. Why would it be almost as important for us? Well, I wonder, have you ever heard somebody say this? Have you ever heard someone say that a big part of the reason that they don't believe in Christianity is because they have watched people who say they are Christians behave in sinful ways over and over again? I'll bet you've heard that. Now, some of that's unavoidable because, again, even intentional Christ followers still sin from time to time. But I would say, and I'll bet you'll agree, that there is way, way, way too much sin going on in the lives of people who call themselves Christians, an amount that far exceeds the simple reality that Christ followers will mess up from time to time. There are people who call themselves Christians who seem to either not know or not care what God's commands for moral righteous living, what his commands are in the Bible. People who think that going to church or going through some ritual like baptism has saved them, and now they don't need to worry about it anymore or pay attention to what God actually says in the Bible about how to live. So if that's you, I'd ask you to come out of that way of thinking, because that really doesn't make sense. It's not logical. And not only is it not advancing God's good and saving mission, this mission of Jesus into the world, it's actually causing harm, right? It's causing people to not believe in Jesus. So it's doing the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. There's a difference between not caring about sin and struggling with sin. If you're in the not caring situation, I call you to repentance today. Either stop sinning or stop calling yourself a Christian. Now, many of us care but still struggle with sin. That's different. When we're struggling, we need to keep the struggle going. We need to battle against that sin, pray over it, seek to defeat it by continuing to wage war against that behavior that we know we shouldn't be involved in. And when you mess up again, you just get right back up, stand on your feet, and continue battling and praying. Okay? We need to do this because it is almost as important for Christ followers to not be involved in sin as it was for Jesus not to sin. If we preach Jesus to people and call ourselves his representatives in our world, we attach his name to us, then people are going to look at us when they're trying to decide if the message of Jesus is true or not. So we can either represent Jesus well, or we can cause great destruction to Christ's mission in how we act and in what we say. So the final characteristic of Jesus is for us today to think about imitating in our lives is right and moral living. God said of his coming Messiah, "I have called you in righteousness." We need to strive to live in right and moral ways, to follow God's commands from within the Bible, to live in righteousness. That's going to be enough for one day, I think. There are more things to look at next Sunday morning. You may have noticed we didn't even get through the first servant song. More next week, but this is plenty for one day. Let's repeat what has been said here. So we've been looking at characteristics of the Messiah prophesied about in Isaiah that Jesus fulfilled, and we've been saying that if we desire to be true disciples of this man Jesus, we will look at those characteristics and seek to imitate them in our lives. We can imitate our master by serving God and others, seeking to have God's Spirit upon us and in us, pursuing justice, being humble, not needing to be in the limelight, being gentle, duplicating and spreading Jesus' teaching, being on mission just as he was, and by living rightly. We sit and learn at our Master's feet, and then we stand and go, putting into practice in our lives the values he has taught us. Would you pray with me? Lord God, it is not a small task trying to walk in your son's shoes to imitate this master. But you do help us get better and better at it. When we concentrate on being disciples of his, when we push ourselves to continually be in situations where we're learning his teaching and observing the ways in which he acted, when we pray for your assistance, seeking to be sensitive to how you're leading us. If we push ourselves to imitate Jesus, you will help us get better and better at this. So may it be so, Lord, in the lives of everyone here. The world needs a lot more of Jesus in it, and that mission is accomplished by all of your followers becoming more and more like your son and then going out into the world to show his love and duplicate his teaching. Lord God, may your kingdom be spread in this world because of our commitment to your cause. You are good and wise and gracious to us, and we give you honor and praise today. Amen.